But the Bible is true, amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we stand here this morning strengthened by the hand of God and ready to minister his word, amen. Because we need a word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the true and living God. Yeah. And so we're looking for a word from God today. And we're going to find that word, at least the foundation for it, in Psalm 27. And so if you can turn there with me to Psalm 27, a Psalm of David. Amen. You know, some people mistakenly say David wrote all the Psalms. He did not. Amen. There's some Psalms of Asaph. Moses has a Psalm. There are some Psalms that are unattributed. Amen. David did write many of them, but he did not write all of them. But Psalm 27 is attributed to David. And truth be told, amen, the Psalm, like every other book in the Bible, is inspired by God. Amen. And written down by man. So God gets the glory anyhow.
Amen.
No matter whose name is at the top. But Psalm 27 is a psalm attributed to David. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. Psalm 27 is one of my favorite psalms, though. Amen. It's very encouraging. And we're going to read the last two verses, 13 and 14. And the word says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. David, amen, writing in Psalm 27:13-14. Our title today is, I Will See God's Goodness in My Life. Amen.
Amen.
I will see God's goodness in my life. It's not only a title, but it's a declaration. Amen. It's a statement of faith. It's something that you and I should say with strength, boldness, and with confidence. Amen. I will see God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
I know I'm going through some stuff right now, and I've been on the rough side of the mountain for a little while. And, but I will see God's goodness in my life. I know things aren't working out the way I want them to, and people have turned their backs on me, and I find myself in a dry land where no water is, but I will see God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
I got more bills than money, but I will see God's goodness
in my life.
And see, we have to make that a declaration, amen. I will see God's goodness. Because if you don't believe that you will see God's goodness in your life, then you will do what David said would have happened to him unless he had believed.
Amen.
He said he would have fainted,
yes,
had he not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in his life.
Amen.
He would have fainted. He would have given up. He would have thrown in the towel unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And so it's important then that we have this as something that's strong in our spirit. Amen. I am going to see God's goodness.
Yeah.
I may be on the I may be at the bottom right now. I may be on the lowest rung of the ladder, but I'm not staying here. Amen. Things are going to get better in my life because God is going to reveal his goodness in my life in the land of the living.
Amen.
Amen.
We're not talking sweet by and by. In the land of the living, I'm going to see the goodness of God. And if I believe that,
yes,
then like David, I will not faint.
Amen.
Because I know something good is ahead of me. It's amazing how the prospect of good can propel us to go another step further. How the prospect of good, how the prospect of improvement can help us go through some things. That's why it's important that we believe I'm going to see the goodness of God. Because if I believe I'll see the goodness of God, then in the midst of my struggles and my problems right now, I'm not going to give up and sit down and throw in the towel.
Amen.
But I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other because I believe something good is ahead,
yes,
for me in my life. Amen.
Amen.
I will see God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
Let's pray today. Amen. And then we'll continue to incline our ear to God's voice. Father, to you we give the praise, the thanks, the glory, and the honor.
Yes, Father.
Because to you and you alone it belongs. And so, Father, we bless you right now as we come to your word. We thank you, God,
yes, Lord,
that you have a word for us,
yes,
today. We need not ask, is there a word from the Lord? Because, God, you are always speaking.
Yes.
So, Father, we just pray that you will speak unto us, that you will open our ears and our hearts to hear and to receive what you have for us today in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And bless us with the wisdom and the obedience to walk out in our lives the word that you sow into our spirits. And Father, we thank you, God, that this word shall transform us. This word shall lift us up. This word shall increase our faith.
Yes.
This word, oh God, shall make a difference in our lives. So Father, we are ready to receive. We ask you now to speak. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. For it belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I will see God's goodness in my life. Psalm of David, amen. 27, 13, and 14. I read King James Version. I'm now going to read the Amplified Version of those same verses. And David says, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. David said, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see God's goodness? What would have happened to me? And the question, when he says, what would have happened to me, he's saying, listen, I could have just been left for dead. I could have lost everything. I could have turned my back on God and turned my back on his plan for my life unless I believed to see. Because if I didn't believe it, I would have given up.
Yes.
And how many of you know, if you give up on God, that is the worst thing that you can do. As a child of God, you can't give up on God. As Peter said to Jesus when he said, you're going to walk away, he said, where are we going to go? See, sometimes it's not just about saying, I'm leaving someplace. You better know where you're going.
Amen.
Hagar left Sarah because Sarah was just giving her a hard time. Right? Because now she was, you know, she had become the surrogate for Abraham.
Yes.
And she left. And the angel of the Lord met her and said, where you go? Right? He said, where you come from? But then he said, well, where are you going? Because that second question was more important. Where are you going? He said, repent and return. Amen. Go back Right? Because you are not headed to a better place. And sometimes people who leave the church and believe they're going to leave off the promises of God, you have to ask yourself a question. Where are you going? Where are you going that's better than the Word of God? Where are you going that's better than the life that God can provide for you? Where are you going? And see, David said, I am so glad that I saw the goodness of God because I don't know what would have become of me if I had given up on God. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that, amen? Yeah. Maybe not the way David can, but I can relate to it in saying, listen, I can't turn away. No matter how much is coming against me, I can't turn away because what would happen to me?
Yeah.
I lived my own way for a while. Let me tell you something. It doesn't work. You got the same testimony, amen? You tried it, and it doesn't work. You tried living life your way. You tried living life the way the world taught you that life is supposed to be lived. And it didn't work. It brought you to your knees, amen. It had a place where you found the true and living God. And you said, Lord, help me. And God's been with you ever since. But here, this what David is saying, what would have become of me had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord, the land of the living? He then says something. He says, wait on the Lord. He starts talking about this need to endure. He says that your heart should be stout, should be strong and enduring. He's talking about enduring. He's talking about persevering. And last week, God was talking to us, right, where he said that you know, when the journey seems too long, and sometimes we find ourselves and that journey just seems too long. God, I've been waiting for you for too long. I've been stuck in this place for too long. I've been walking around the same tree for too long. Amen. I've been in this place for too long. My mind and emotions have been this way for too long. And my situation has been this way for too long. Lord, when will I see the change? When will I see the improvement? Because it's been too long that I've been in this place. And God was encouraging us, talking about when the journey is too long. Sometimes God is protecting us from some things. We're not ready to fight, just like the children of Israel weren't ready to fight. I'm not going to bring you to the land of the Philistines, but those are warlike people. You're not ready to fight. So you have to walk the long way to your promise until I can put some things in you that allow you to be able to know how to fight the spiritual battles that you're going to have to fight once I bless you.
Yes.
So God told us that, you know, when we're in this for too long, that we have to understand that then as part of his process. How many of you know God's time is not your time? Amen. And I know, you know, your 2 years and your 10 years seem like a long time, but 1,000 years is like the day to God, and so your 10 years is about, you know, a couple minutes in the eyes of God. Couple minutes. It's not long to God. But for us, it is long. We live on this earth. But what we have to do, God says, listen, you have to persevere. You have to stay in there. You have to endure. Because otherwise, you will not see the goodness of God. Too many people have given up. And they come short of God showing himself in their lives. I don't want that to be you.
Amen.
I don't want that to be me.
Amen.
God is calling us to persevere. Persevere even sounds like a hard word. Any word that has severe in it.
Yes.
That's not a word that makes me want to jump up and down and lift up my hands in the sanctuary. Persevere. It sounds like I'm about to start sweating. Doesn't it? Persevere. No, we don't want to hear a word like that. Persevere. But perseverance is something that we see in the Bible so much. And many times it's couched in a word that sounds a little bit better to our ear. It says patience. But to God, patience and perseverance is the same. Amen. It means that you have to hang in there. Perseverance means that you have a steady and active persistence, even though you have some opposition and some delay. You don't give up, in other words.
Yes.
You keep at it. You persevere. Amen. It may take a long time, but you keep coming back. It may take a long time, but you don't stop going forward. You keep trying. You keep believing. You keep asking. You keep knocking.
Yeah.
You keep seeking. Amen. You keep confessing. You keep reading. You keep praying. You just keep at it. You persevere. Even in the face of opposition or delay.
Amen.
And here's the thing about us as people of God. If we don't persevere, if we don't persevere, then it's going to be very difficult for you and for me to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be very difficult. That's why David is encouraging us to wait on the Lord. He's saying to endure, to hope for and expect, and don't stop doing those things, because God will show you his goodness if you hang in there. Perseverance is something that we have to have as part of our walk with God. Why? Because the journey is long. You have been in that place for a long time. You have a choice before you. I love God because he makes it simple, Brother Life. He makes it simple. He says, I set before you today life and death, blessings and cursing, choose life. God doesn't give grace. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And knowing it is, God's the same way. You're either going to keep going or you're going to give up. There's no in between.
Yeah.
See, people try to live in the in between. They like to straddle the fence.
Wow.
They like both sides of the coin. You talk to them and they go, yeah, I can see your point, but I can see his point too. See, you can't bring that to God.
Yes.
You either got to be in or you're out.
Yeah.
You either got to be hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, Jesus said, I'll spit you out the mouth. Amen. You have to make a choice.
Yes.
And so the thing is, we either are going to endure or we're going to give up. There is nothing in between.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And understand, enduring means you go on through the end.
Mm-hmm.
You can't endure to a point, then give up, then get back up and say, now I'm going to endure some more. You have to keep going until the end. We have to persevere. And here's the thing. We have to persevere through the trials and through tribulations, those things we don't like, through problems, through obstacles, through delay, through hostility, all those things that come from within and from without. The devil throws some stuff at us. People throw some stuff at us. Even God will put some challenges in our lives. We will make our own lives harder sometimes by some of the dumb things we do.
Amen.
So we have all these problems and things, but that's just part of our walking with God.
Yes.
But God calls us to endure. Paul told Timothy that he is to endure hardness like a good soldier for Jesus Christ. See, you endure hardness. Amen. You don't complain about it being hard. You endure hardness. If you listen to people, people don't want anything that's not easy and convenient and given to them on a silver platter.
Nope.
Some people will say to you, if you listen closely, they use hard as a reason not to do something.
Yeah.
We need to do such and such a thing. Somebody said, I don't know if we can do that, man. That would be hard.
Yeah,
it'll be hard. But the hard things can be overcome. How many of you know that?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Just because something is hard doesn't mean you stop. Just because something is hard doesn't mean you don't try. Just because something is hard doesn't mean you don't begin the process of overcoming that thing. The Bible says we are to endure hardness, not shrink away from it. Amen. Not run away from it. Not hide from it. It's too hard. It's too hard. You need to go back to school. It's too hard. I'm married, got kids. For me to go to school, it'd be too hard.
it's hard. Nobody said it was easy, but you still need to do it. Amen? Endure the hardness. Go through the hardness. Persevere through it. And see, that's the mark of a Christian. Christians endure hardness. But oh no, here's the thing. Enduring and complaining are not companions. See, you can't claim you're enduring hardness, and yet as you go through the hardness, you're complaining about the hardness. Mm-hmm. See, the spirit of endurance is saying, I'm going to beat this thing. Amen. I'm going to overcome this thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to get it to the end. See, enduring hardness doesn't mean you go through hard stuff and everybody knows you're going through hard stuff. Because you're complaining. Amen. Wow. This is hard. I'm going through this. Nobody understands where I'm going through. This thing is hard. This thing is hard. See, you're not enduring hardness. You're complaining about the hardness. God said, endure hardness, watch this, like a good soldier. A good soldier doesn't complain about the commands he received from the general. Can't believe he got me standing out here on duty and it's raining and it's cold out here. See, he's not enduring hardness like a good soldier. The good soldier says standing out there on his watch despite the fact that it's cold and it's raining. He's a good soldier. How many of you know that the opposite of a good soldier, not hard, is a bad soldier? Good soldiers endure hardness. Bad soldiers complain about the hardness. Bad soldiers try to avoid the hardness. See, and people go around saying, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That doesn't answer the question. Are you a good soldier or are you a bad soldier? They don't let you know that part. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But are you a good soldier?
Yeah.
That's what God wants to know. He's looking for good soldiers. And to the good soldiers, he's saying, endure hardness. Because that's what my good soldiers do. They go through some stuff. They go through it knowing that hardness is a part of the journey with God. That long journey includes some hardness. And God says, I expect you to be a good soldier. A good soldier says, yes, sir. A good soldier is quick to obey. A good soldier, amen, stays on his post.
Yes.
A good soldier follows commands. A good soldier endures hardness. And we will suffer hardness. Amen. Paul also told Timothy, he said, all that live godly for Christ will suffer persecution. Right? You're going to go through some things. People going to talk about you. It's amazing. I mean, people in Christ, they act like it's a news bulletin that somebody's talking about. Jesus told you that. Amen. That they're going to betray you. A servant's not greater than his Lord. If Jesus had a Judas, why do you think you won't have one? Jesus had a betrayer. Why do you think you're not going to have one? Servant's not greater than his Lord. You got a Judas too. Just like Jesus is Judas, Judas come up kissing you on the cheek. Betray, you crucify me, Jesus, with a kiss. That's how you gonna betray me? It should not come as a surprise to us. Jesus said that in this life you shall have tribulation, right? But what are we supposed to do? Be of good cheer. Why? For I, Jesus said, have overcome the world. And if Jesus overcome the world, how many of you know he's overcome the hardness that you and I are going through? We're going to have problems. We're going to have hardness. You know that. You know why? Because if you live long enough, you've had some hard times in your life. You can come up here and testify for the next 2 hours for some of the hard things you've been through in your life.
Amen.
You're going to do some hard things probably right now. Nobody's life is just nice and easy, right? Not when you get up a certain age. You can go around the block a couple times. See, you know, you're small like that. They're small little kids. The hardest thing for them is that they got to go to bed a certain time.
Yeah.
Hardest thing for them, they don't understand why they can't watch SpongeBob right now. But when you get older, amen, the problems become real. They become harder, amen. Why? Because God starts refining you, putting you through some things. Putting you through some things to build up your character.
Amen.
But the thing is, we have to understand, we should not complain about the hard times, because we should expect that the hard times to come. No one is saying that you should be glad that hard times are there, even though James does say, in fact, let's turn to James chapter 1, because James does say, count it all joy. Now, no one's asking you to jump up and down and do cartwheels, but you and I have to understand that if I'm walking with God, God's going to take me through some hard places. I'm going to go through some dry places. I'm going to go, God's going to ask me to climb some steep mountains. He's going to ask me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to ask me to go places I'd rather not go. But the trials are going to come. Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. Look what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, my brethren, he's talking to believers, amen. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Amen. When you fall into, and then the Amplified says, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort. See what it says? When. Not if. When. It's a part of our life in God that we are going to go through some hard times. Count it all joy when you do that. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience.
Amen.
There's that word patience, right? Sounds good to the ear. But in the Amplified version, it says, let endurance and steadfastness and patience. Endurance. You got to endure it. And steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Part about development in God is that we have to go through these temptations and these trials and these problems of any sort, as James talks about. We have to go through them so that we can develop into what God wants us to be. There's a part of me that wishes that wasn't so. And like Paul would say, you know, I speak as a man.
Yes.
When I speak as a man, I'm saying, Lord, can we skip that part? I just want to be patient. Do you know, how many of you want to have a six-pack with no crunches and no exercise whatsoever? How many of us want the thing, but we don't, but let's just get to the end. Huh? I mean, you ask most people, would you rather just have the salary without the job? You know what I'm saying, Brother Lance? You just want the revenue, right, without the, you know, all the, why? Because those things bring the problems. But it's worth it. But we got to be willing to go through it.
Amen.
We got to be willing to go through it. And we're going to come back to it because this is not just about God saying, well, you just better be prepared to go through some stuff. It's about David, under the inspiration of God, saying, I would have fainted unless I believed something.
Yes.
See, because I'm going through some stuff right now, and I would have gave up, and I don't know what would have happened to me, but the reason why I didn't give up is because I believed something.
Yes.
And the thing that helped David endure his trials and temptations, the same thing that can help you and that can help me. But it's not a matter of if, it's when. Now, if we turn to Romans chapter 5, Paul is another one of God's good soldiers who knows a thing or two about struggling, doesn't he? Paul talked about being shipwrecked. Paul talked about fasting often. He talked about starving. He talked about being whipped. He talked about being left for dead. Paul talked about being attacked. He said, I've gone through all kinds of things in carrying out my calling in God. I've been through some things. And this man who's been through some things in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he talks about being justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that, amen. You and I are saved, we're justified by faith, we now have peace with God.
Amen.
God, those who are ungodly, those who are worldly, are at enmity with God. Amen. They're in opposition to God. I don't want to be in opposition to God. And because I'm justified by faith, and because you're justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. The Amplifier says, let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. He says that we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God. Moses said, show me your glory. God said, I will make my goodness pass before you. The goodness of God, the glory of God, is God's goodness revealed in our lives. And Paul is saying here, we can rejoice in the hope of seeing the goodness of God in our lives. We can rejoice in the hope of seeing the glory of God. Amen. See, you're going through some stuff right now, but you can rejoice in the hope of seeing the glory of God. You're going through some stuff right now and things are hard, but you can still rejoice in the hope of experiencing and enjoying the goodness of God being revealed in your life. And that's what David was saying. I would have given up unless I believed that. I'm going to see God's goodness before I leave this joint. Yeah, I'm going through some stuff. Saul going crazy, throwing javelins at me. And my son turning his back on me. And we got some guy I'm going through, and I'm in the low point of my life, and he kicking dirt on me and throwing rocks at me and all kinds of things. People turning their backs on me, but I'm going to see God's goodness.
Yeah.
In my life. Verse 3 says, and not only so, in other words, we don't only rejoice in the hope of seeing the goodness of God in our life, but we also rejoice and glory in tribulations. Why did he have to go there? I was good in verse 2.
Yes.
He was talking about rejoicing and seeing some good stuff, and now he got to go, and we also rejoice in our problems. See, I speak as a man again. I can do without that part. But let's keep reading, though, because it's encouraging. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Watch this. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There's that word again. Tribulation, the problems in your life, the challenges in your life, the oppositions in your life, the delays in your life, they are working something. They are producing something. And you know what they're producing? They're producing patience. They're producing perseverance. They're producing in you that ability to stay in there and to be persistent until the situation turns around.
Yes.
I would, just like I would rather have the money without the work, having to work, and I'd rather have the six pack without doing one crunch. The thing I need to get through my hardness is perseverance, but here's the problem. I can't get that without the problems.
Wow.
God didn't give me a shortcut to that.
Yes.
Perseverance is my six pack. I got to do the crunches. Reverse crunch. Planks. I got to do all kinds of things. I got to go through some stuff in order to get the thing I need in order to not give up on the stuff.
Yes.
Isn't that something? I have to go through it. Because he says here that tribulation worketh or produces the patience or the perseverance. But look at this. Verse 4. And the patience produces experience or character. And the experience produces hope. And that hope is not going to make me ashamed. So I got to go through it. How do I get to that place where now I say I'm hopeful in God? Well, it started with my problem. And as I had the problem, that problem, it started to work and produce in me the ability not to give up.
Yes. Yes.
Only God can do something like that.
Yes.
I have a problem, and I feel like running in the other direction, but somehow God works something in me that because of that problem, I say, I'm not going anywhere.
Amen.
My mind is telling me, get on up out of here. You ever be like that? Where your mind tells you to quit, but yet you keep going?
Yes.
That's because the Spirit of God is strong in you. And you keep pressing forward, even though everything in you, in your rational mind, says you need to just stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it produces in you this ability to endure. And as you endure, you develop a character, amen, that you never could have had any other way. And after you develop that character, you get to a place called hope, where now you have a confident expectation that God's going to show you something good out of this.
Wow.
He's going to show me something good out of this. The writer of Hebrews calls hope, and he said that hope is an anchor to our soul. You know what an anchor does for a ship? It keeps the ship from just being tossed all crazy.
Yes.
In the midst of a storm. Amen. See, when the storm is raging and the ship is going to go, you have to throw down the anchor because that's going to steady the ship in the midst of the storm. When you and I go through storms of life, what keeps us anchored is our hope in God.
Yes.
It's our hope in God. But how do we get to that place of hope? Because we endured some things. There's some things you went through earlier in your walk with God that has helped produce the hope that you have right now.
Yes.
There's some things that you went through 10, 15, maybe even 20 years ago, and God has used that to develop a perseverance that led to experience, that led to hope, that allows you now to stay in the midst of the worst storm of your life. This is the worst storm of your life. And here you are. You are steadied in God somehow because your soul is anchored in hope.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can do that. I'm believing in God. I'm hopeful in God, even though the storm is just trying to knock me off course.
Yeah.
It's trying to capsize my boat. But I'm steady. How did I get this way? How did I get this kind of a strength? Because you endured hardness like a good soldier. You didn't throw in the towel the last time when you could have. You kept coming to church. You kept praying. You kept giving. You kept sowing seed.
Yeah.
You kept believing. You kept fasting. You kept reading. You kept praying. Amen. You were persistent. You were actively persistent.
Yeah.
Amen. You persevered. And God has rewarded you with something, amen, that doesn't come to the faint of heart. That's why David said, I would have fainted. Why? Because I've seen other people in my life faint. You've seen other people in your life fake too. You've had some people who are side by side with you in the church, and now you look, you can't find them.
Yes.
You have people that you used to talk to about God, and now all they want to talk to you about is the game.
Wow.
You can't find them. But you know, you child of God, you have prevailed, you have persisted, and God is saying unto you, I'm going to show you my goodness. You're going to see my goodness in the land of the living. Because you haven't given up. You persevered. Paul told the Philippian church, he said, he that has begun a good work in you shall complete it. That helps me, amen, because I know if God started something in me, he's going to finish it. But if he's going to finish it, I have to cooperate with him, meaning that I got to be in my proper place so that he can put the finishing touches on what he started.
Yes, amen.
He's the potter and we're the clay, amen, and his hands are on us. And you know, it's nice when God is just smoothing out stuff. The wheel is turning and he's just smoothing out stuff. Well, it's not so nice than when he started kneading.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, brother? See, the smooth, I can deal with the smooth. You know, he just, you know, the wheels turning, just smooth. There's other times where he got, amen. Or he got to dig a good chunk. Because he's making something. But we got to stay on the wheel. And that's part of perseverance. We stay on the wheel. As the potter puts his hands to us, we don't need. Why? Because he is going to complete the work. I want God to complete the work.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be a finished product. Amen. 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 Jesus at the end said, it's 'tis finished. I want him to look at me in one day and say, 'tis finished. Amen. Because he did the work.
Amen.
It's completed. God, because I didn't give up.
Right.
That's where I want to be. And what's going to help me get there is knowing that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
I'm not just going through this, amen, just because. God wants to show me something. And everything that God has and everything God is good. How many of you know that? And if he wants to show me something, if he wants to show me a part of himself, if he wants to show me a part of his plan, it's a good thing. And so I know I'm going to see some goodness, but I got to keep walking with God and endure this hardness like a good soldier. Amen?
Amen. I want to turn back to James for a second. James chapter 5. Because James chapter 5 talks about the need for being patient. And he talks about it from the perspective of a few different things, amen. He starts out by talking about being patient like a farmer. In verse number 7 of James 5, he says, so be patient, brethren. Again, James talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Be patient, brethren, as you wait for the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See, the farmer just doesn't wait. He waits with expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you waiting with expectation? Are you expecting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? When David says wait on the Lord, he's talking about waiting with an expectation. Amen. I'm waiting to see God's goodness in my life. Amen. Waits with expectation. He waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and the late rains. So you also must be patient. So he's saying, look, you need to be patient like that farmer. He's patient, not just waiting, but he's waiting with expectation. He's waiting and he's believing he's going to see something good. You also must be patient. But how are you going to do it? Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty. For the coming of the Lord is very near. Now watch this. Do not complain, brethren. See, because good soldiers don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the very door. As an example of suffering and ill treatment, together with patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as his messengers. You know how we call those blessed, happy, who were steadfast, who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the Lord's purpose and how he richly blessed him in the end. Inasmuch as the Lord is full of pity and compassion and tenderness and mercy. James says that we need to be patient, or we need to persevere like a farmer who's waiting for his crop to come. He waits with expectation. We need to be patient and persevere like the prophets who suffered ill treatment and who went through some things. They were treated wrong by people, but they did what God wanted them to do. You need to be patient. Go through that thing. He says you and I need to be patient and persevere like Job did. And we know Job lost everything. But what happened? Job, before he left this place, saw God return unto him more than he lost.
Yeah.
But Job is an example of someone who perseveres, someone who endures, someone who does not give up. And you know who else is an example of that to us? Jesus Christ. Amen. The writer of Hebrews, in fact, the writer of Hebrews, I'm going to read this in your hearing, in Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us, amen, that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I like the way the Amplifier says. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. Giving the first incentive for our belief, and he is also its finisher, bringing to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It says here that Jesus, because of the joy that was in front of him, was able to endure the cross.
Amen.
And see, God is saying unto us, because of the goodness that is in front of you here in the land of the living, you can endure the hardness that you're going through right now. But stop looking at the hardness and stop looking at other people who you think have it easier than you, and keep your eyes on the Lord. And you can endure and understand that there's some goodness ahead in my life. I will see God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
And my eyes are on that. My eyes are faith. I'm believing God's going to turn this situation around. I'm believing God is going to take this bad and work it together for my good. I believe that God is going to turn not enough into more than enough. I believe God is going to heal and save and deliver. I believe God is going to do miracles. And I'm going to see it before I leave. And because I believe that, I'm not going to faint as I go through this hardness. And because I'm a good soldier, I'm not going to complain as I go through. Just think of him, verse number 3 in the Amplified. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon upon and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You see what the writer of Hebrews says?
Yes.
Think of him who endured so that you won't grow weary. Think of him who endured so that you won't be exhausted. Think of him who endured so that you won't lose heart and faint in your minds.
Amen.
See, because if you're not thinking of him who before the joy that was set before him, he said, I'm going to endure this cross. then you say, that's my example. So I'm going to look at the joy that God has in front of me. I'm going to look at the goodness that God has in front of me, and I'm going to endure this thing. Because if I don't do that, I'm going to get weary, come on, and exhausted, and I'm going to relax, and I'm going to faint.
Amen.
And isn't that the very thing that David said would have happened to him if he didn't believe to see the goodness of God? I would have fainted. I would have relaxed. I would have been exhausted. I would have grown weary, and I would have thrown in the towel. Why didn't I, though? David said, because I believed that God was going to show me his goodness.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through right now, understand something. God wants to show you his goodness.
Yes.
God wants to turn your situation around. He wants to make an open show of the devil in your life. Amen. Amen. Believe that, though. Amen. Believe that. Be like David in Psalm 27. Believe that. Amen. Believe that God wants to show you his goodness. Because that's what's going to help you to hang in there and not faint. Amen.
Amen.
That's what's going to help you. Yes, this journey is long. Amen. Glory to God. I wish God would just, you ever get to the point where you just say, God, would you just hurry up? I don't know that may not sound religiously correct, but you know it's honest, amen.
Yes,
but there are times where you go, God, would you just, can we just get on with it, Lord? Amen. Could you just skip this part?
Yes, amen.
But here's the thing. I believe this, and I confess this over your life. Amen. Declare it. You're a good soldier.
Amen.
Amen. You're a good soldier. And because you're a good soldier, you know how to endure hardness. Amen. You know how to go through. And because, amen, you glory in those tribulations. Don't mean you're throwing a party, but you understand this is something that's working in me, something that I couldn't get otherwise. I'm going to learn to endure. I'm going to develop my character. I'm going to get a hope that's going to become an anchor in my soul so that when the storms come in my life, I will not be moved.
Amen.
Amen. I will not be moved. And then people are going to look at you and say, how are you able to stand up like that? How are you able to keep on like that? And you really don't have an answer that you can give them intellectually, but it's just a spiritual thing. Amen. God has done this in you. Why? But you also were an active participant because you refused to give up. Amen?
Amen?
You refused to give up. Like David said, amen, I have fainted as I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will see God's goodness in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Tell yourself that, amen, as you're going through, I will see God's goodness in my life. It ain't ending like this.
Amen.
Amen. When you're in your misery, it is not ending like this.
Amen.
Amen. I will see the goodness of God in my life.
Amen.
Amen. It's not going to end this way. Amen. Even that.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. See, the devil is alive. We're about to end.
Amen.
But see, understand something, and this is why I guess we couldn't. Distractions.
Amen.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if we go back, and I'm just going to read this real quickly, and then we'll get down from here, amen. But I just want you to read this. I want to read this one more time. In verse number 2 in Hebrews 12, and Joe, you got to turn your phone off.
Oh, sorry.
In Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 2, it says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And see, that's the whole thing. And how many of you know the enemy will use all kinds of things to try to keep you from looking at God, to looking at Jesus. And understand, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the Word.
Yes.
Right?
And he'll do anything to try to keep you from looking at the Word. But here is the thing. The devil is a liar. Because this Word, we started by saying that this Word is how we're supposed to live.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And God has a Word for you and me of how we're going to live at this hour. Amen? And how you're going to persevere through your current situation and those that are going to come. Amen. Whenever you find yourself in that situation, understand that you are going to persevere into the end. And what's going to help you is that you know something. I'm going to see God's goodness in my life.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to see it. You can't tell me anything, devil. I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life. And because of that, I'm not going to faint.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'm going to endure like a good soldier. I'm going to endure like the prophets of old. I'm going to endure like Job. And I'm going to endure like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am going to endure until I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's rest on our feet and let's pray today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise and we give you thanks because you're worthy. We give you praise and we give you thanks because you're good.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise and thanks because you're faithful.
Yes, you are, Lord.
We give you praise and thanks, God, because you're mindful of us.
Lord.
You know where we are, God. You know our current situation and circumstance. You know what we have need of even before we ask.
Yes.
And Father, we need an encouragement in our spirits today. Because Father God, we are on this long journey with you, God.
Yeah.
And Father, we are determined to keep going. But God, sometimes our flesh cries out to quit and to stop.
Yes.
To just throw in the towel.
Yes.
But Father, you have given us a word of encouragement that will help us to keep going forward.
Yeah.
Father, you said that we are to persevere. That we are to endure hardness. Like a good soldier, that we are to keep going and pressing forward in you, that you may complete the work that you started. And Father, you have given us, O God, an incentive. You've given us, O God, the truth of your word, that we shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And like David, if we can keep our eyes and our minds on the goodness of God that is yet to come on this side of glory, we will not faint. We will not give up. We will not grow weary or exhausted. We will not relax our hold on you, but we will keep walking with you until you escort us into the promise. And Father, we thank you right now for encouraging our hearts. We thank you right now, God, for helping us to understand, God, that everything that you allow in our lives has a purpose that is for our good. That, Father, you are building up our character, that you are filling us with hope, that you, O God, are doing great things in our lives that will allow us to go beyond previous limitations and boundaries. Father God, we have not seen the end of it yet. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And for that, we give you the praise. And we give you the thanks. Father, we ask you now to continue to minister this word in our hearts and
in
our spirit. Father, we ask that you continue to teach us and lead us and just tell us even more, God. Even more, even more. Tell us and bring us deeper into the word, deeper into the revelation, deeper into the truth, oh God. The truth that makes us free. And Father, we thank you, God, that we shall not be the same. But Father, that because you have spoken this word, Father, we will be stronger than ever, walking with you, O God, hallelujah, in faith and in full trust that we will see your glory in our lives.
Yes.
For that we give you praise in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.